Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the data from phase IIb CALYPSO trial of SNF472 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, and I would now like to hand the conference over to first speaker today, Joan Perrella, CEO of Sanifit. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning for those joining from the U.S. Good evening for those in Europe. Good night for those in Asia. Yes, this is Joan Perrella, CEO and co-founder at Sanifit Therapeutics. I would like to start saying thank you to everybody attending this webcast call. On behalf of all the Sanifit team, I would like to express our excitement for the CALYPSO data, which is the main topic of the call today, and hopefully the presenting team will be able to transmit this excitement as well. First, please remember that you have the deck that we will be using today available in our website in the events section. And for easiness during the presentation, we will be mentioning the slide number so that it can be followed easily. So going to slide number three, today I am joined by Alex Gold, Chief Medical Officer at Sanifit and President at Sanifit Inc., which is Sanifit's subsidiary in the U.S. Alex is a Harvard-trained cardiologist, has spent over 15 years in the life sciences industry in senior and executive positions in clinical development in companies like AstraZeneca, Reata, or more recently at Portola. He has led and contributed to bringing several drugs to patients, including Crestor, one of the statins that peaked sales above $6 billion. It's also my great pleasure to introduce you to Professor Glenn Chertow. Glenn is a member of the steering committee of the CALYPSO clinical trial and is recognized as one of the key opinion leaders within the cardiorenal field, including large expertise in the area of vascular calcification. Glenn is Professor of Medicine and Professor of Health Research and Policy at Stanford University, where he's chief of the Division of Nephrology. I will start giving an overview of the company, jumping to slide number four. Sanifit is a biopharmaceutical company focused on calcification disorders that was spun out from the University of the Balearic Islands. The company is headquartered in Palma, Spain, and has a wholly owned subsidiary in the U.S. where the clinical and the regulatory team are located. If we talk about calcium, it would typically come to our minds as something good, something that builds our bones. This positive process is the physiological and healthy formation of solid calcium phosphate in the form of hydroxyapatite. However, solid calcium also develops in other places, mainly in soft tissues, leading to the pathological deposition of hydroxyapatite in the wrong places. When it happens in the cardiovascular system, it's known as cardiovascular calcification. SNF472 is Sanifit's lead compound, and it is a first-in-class inhibitor of cardiovascular calcification, and it is a potential disease-modifying agent for various diseases related to vascular calcification that still today remain as unmet medical needs. More than 30 animal studies have shown its efficacy in inhibiting cardiovascular calcification, and the product has been evaluated in four clinical trials to date with above 200 patients and volunteers treated with the compound. SNF472 is being developed for the treatment of calciphylaxis, or CUA, as you can see in the slide, a rare disease that mostly happens in patients with renal insufficiency for which Sanifit has orphan status. CUA presents a 55% annual mortality rate, and there are no therapies approved. A phase 3 pivotal clinical trial called CALCIFIT has been initiated, and the first patients are expected in Q1 2020. SNF472's efficacy in reducing cardiovascular calcification progression has been studied in the CALYPSO clinical trials, the main topic of today's call, a 274-patient randomized controlled clinical trial. The top-line data was presented at the scientific sessions at the Congress of the American Heart Association this past weekend and published in the journal Circulation. In a short while, Alex and Glenn will be providing more details about that. Sanifit is backed by several corporate and venture capital firms. The major shareholders and investors are listed here in the bottom of the of slide number 4. Moving to slide number 5, let's briefly talk about SNF-472. The active ingredient of SNF-472 is myo-inositol hexaphosphate, the small molecule that you can see in the slide, and as a first-in-class inhibitor of cardiovascular calcification, presents a simple and elegant mechanism of action by physiochemically binding the crystals of hydroxyapatite, or HAP, the final common pathway of cardiovascular calcification, blocking this way their formation and growth and selectively inhibiting vascular calcification. The molecule has a natural origin and it's present in the serum of mammals, including human beings, at very low concentrations, where it provides a natural and physiological protection against massive cardiovascular calcification. However, in disease states like renal insufficiency, the progression of vascular calcification is more severe and accelerated, and supraphysiological concentrations are required. Since the compound is poorly available when given orally, these supraphysiological concentrations cannot be achieved by oral means, and SNF-472 is dosed by intravenous infusion 3 times per week to dialysis patients in a dosing scheme that's optimal for patient convenience and compliance. Slide number 6. Here we show some of the studies where we have demonstrated that SNF-472 can inhibit cardiovascular calcification. In the first graph, left side, on the upper side of the slide, in a model of prevention of calcification, SNF-472 showed that it can inhibit in a dose-response manner the new formation of cardiovascular calcification. Below that one, in a model with established calcification, SNF-472 was able to stop the progression of cardiovascular calcification compared to placebo. And when compared to SPS, sodium thiosulfate, a compound used off-label for calciphylaxis, or cinacalcet, SNF-472 showed better efficacy, since it targets the hydroxyapatite crystal, the final common pathway of vascular calcification, instead of having an indirect action. So after this slide, I would like to hand over Professor Glenn Chorteau, who will cover the next slides about calciphylaxis. Glenn?
Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you all for allowing me to participate in the call, and I look forward to participating in the QA session as well. Just for those of you who are not entirely familiar with calciphylaxis, this also goes by the term calcific uremic arteriolopathy, which basically describes the disease, which is a calcific disease of the arterioles that is principally seen in the setting of uremia or persons with very poor kidney function who require dialysis. There are patients who are not on dialysis who have impaired kidney function, often with diabetes and obesity, who have calcific uremic arteriolopathy or calciphylaxis, but the vast majority are patients on dialysis. And this is an absolutely devastating condition for our patients. The reported mortality rates are, as you see, about 55%. This is in a year, though many patients suffer enormously. Even those who survive suffer enormously. People tend to succumb to infections that complicate the wounds, and no traditional approaches to wound care actually work. So the approaches that vascular surgeons or wound specialists often will take to wounds of peripheral arterial disease, debridement, certain therapeutics, topical therapeutics, et cetera, often make the process worse. The lesions are extremely painful, often obligating maintenance narcotic analgesics in the patients, and these drugs are very, very poorly tolerated in this population. And so this is perhaps the most severe form of arteriolar calcification, although, as you'll learn from subsequent slides and our discussion of Calypso, broadly there is dystrophic calcification in advanced chronic kidney disease. I often tell my patients, really a gross oversimplification, but in the setting of kidney disease, particularly advanced kidney disease, the blood vessels get hard and the bones get soft. So the bones do not mineralize normally, but there is dystrophic calcification of the blood vessels with awful consequences. So if we could go to the next slide, slide 8. These two panels show the two principal outcomes of the CUA program, that is improvements in wound healing by something known as the BWAT, which was the primary endpoint of the phase 2 open-label trial recently published in the Journal of Nephrology, and improvement in pain. And you can see highly statistically significant and what are really clinically meaningful changes in both wound healing and in pain over a relatively short period of 12 weeks without serious adverse effects. And as you'll see when Dr. Gold presents the data from Calypso, the adverse effects of SNF-472 in that study given to the same host population, patients on hemodialysis, the adverse events were few and generally speaking not different than placebo. So to go to the next slide, just to give you a few bullet points about cardiovascular calcification and cardiovascular disease more broadly in end-stage kidney disease. Basically, the cardiovascular mortality and event rates in our patient population are, depending on age, between about 5 and 30-fold higher than they are in the general population. The distribution of events is a little bit different. There tends to be more heart failure, sudden death, and stroke. In particular, there's also more myocardial infarction and unstable angina and peripheral arterial disease. But the arterioles get calcified and stiff, and that promotes left ventricular hypertrophy, which promotes arrhythmia and promotes heart failure and promotes distal ischemia and subendocardial ischemia. We know that cardiovascular calcification and its progression are associated with an even higher risk of cardiovascular events and mortality. And though the typical screening methods, which are CT or plain film imaging, cannot distinguish between intimal and medial calcification, we know there is both accelerated atherosclerosis in the advanced CKD population, as well as markedly accelerated arteriosclerosis. So even on a plain film of the chest, one can often see an outline of the aorta because of medial arteriolar calcification in patients with advanced chronic kidney disease. It's a highly regulated process. It's not simply high levels of calcium and phosphate. It's a very complex process biologically, but ultimately it depends on hydroxyapatite nucleation and crystal growth, which is why we are so excited about SNF-472, because this is the final common pathway for vascular calcification, whereas hyperphosphatemia or secondary hyperparathyroidism or acute and chronic inflammation can potentiate calcification. It all depends ultimately on hydroxyapatite and crystal growth. And we believe, and evidence suggests, that reducing progression of vascular calcification in this population can lead to a reduction in cardiovascular events and mortality. And the next slide, slide 10, just gives you a general sense of CVC progression and mortality in the general population. We know that those who progress have much higher mortality rates than those who do not. And in chronic kidney disease, those findings are accentuated. So just to introduce my colleague, Dr. Gold, here's a slide showing the title of our manuscript describing the results of the Calypso trial, which Alex will go through in some detail with you.
Great. Thank you very much, Glenn. And hello, everyone. It's my pleasure to review with you the results of the Calypso trial that were just presented this weekend at the sessions of the American Heart Association and published at the same time in the AHA journal Circulation. This was a very exciting weekend for all of us who have contributed to this study over a number of years. Some of our team members are listening in right now, and I would like to point out that this study was executed, even though it's not a simple study to execute, at a very high quality with a major effort by a small team. Just to give you an idea of how Senefit executed this study with help and collaboration with a great steering committee, you see the names on the Circulation publication. The top line data for this study was received on October 17th. As you can calculate, in less than a month, these top line data were evaluated by the steering committee, prepared for the presentation and publication. It was thought to be important and accepted for essentially expedited review by the Circulation, the leading journal of the American Heart Association, and presented successfully by Dr. Paolo Raggi, who's an expert in this field, and Glenn is, Dr. Certo is the senior author, who is a leading nephrologist in the field. Both of them have been opinion leaders in this area. So we are certainly pleased to collaborate with this premier group of investigators to advance this field. On slide 12, you see the design of the Calypso trial. As many of you have read before, this has been also published as a separate publication about the design, and you can obviously access the publication online. In brief, this was a randomized controlled trial, placebo-controlled trial of two doses of SNF-472. 274 patients were randomized based on the appropriate entry criteria. They were all patients on hemodialysis with significant degree of coronary arterial calcification, as you can see, between 100 to 3,500. They were on dialysis for at least 6 months, and we had 65 sites in the U.S., U.K., and Spain enrolling the patients. The CT scans for evaluation of the endpoints were centrally read by a core laboratory. The primary endpoint was change in coronary arterial calcification, CAC score volume. You can see what the secondary endpoints were, looking at other arterial territories, as well as additional evaluations of progression. We also evaluated the most appropriate safety endpoints. We will discuss those today. There was also a one-month safety follow-up. The drug was administered for the duration of 52 weeks and received by the patients during their dialysis sessions three times a week, seamlessly integrated into their care. Moving on to slide 13, brief notes on the statistical analysis. Obviously, the details are in the publication. We used a percent change at 52 weeks in CAC volume score as the primary endpoint, as I mentioned. The population was modified intent to treat MITT population. This was analysis was log transformed, which is typical for skewed data of CAC distribution. And the primary comparison was that of combined dosing groups versus placebo. We also did supportive comparisons of each dose versus placebo. We also performed a per-protocol analysis, a multiple imputation with two methods to support and verify the results, as well as a tipping point analysis, which we also have performed, all of them supporting the primary analysis. Moving on to slide 14, here you see the flow of our randomized patients. As you can see, the main randomization provided approximately 90 patients per group. One patient did not receive study drug, and you can see that the definition of our MITT population required, importantly, that subjects had at least one dose of study drug, as well as an evaluable post-baseline CAT scan to be evaluable for the primary endpoint. And that's how MITT provided the 77, 65, and 77, respectively, in placebo 600 milligrams and 300 milligrams. And you can see how the per-protocol population was comprised of the patients who actually met all the entry criteria, had 52-week evaluable scan, so completed the full study and received most of their drug, defined as 80% at least of the study drug. So those are important definitions to keep in mind as we move on. On slide 15, you see the baseline demographics and other characteristics. Also published previously and available as a publication without by dose or by a study arm distribution, but here you can see that in general, the baseline characteristics were similar across groups, with some variability, not uncommon for these trials, and quite representative of what a dialysis patient population would look like. Moving on to slide 16, you can see how these patients were treated. Importantly, these are obviously not all of the medications they received, but these are the most relevant ones. Again, you can see that they were relatively closely distributed. At the top, you see some of the common medications that these patients received that affect their calcium phosphate metabolism. They received really standard of care, modern standard of care in the Western world, both Europe and the United States. The medications in the first half tend to affect potentially calcification progression in their arteries potentially positively. The ones in the lower part have a potential procalcifying effect, so that's the conundrum for these patients, as Dr. Cherto pointed out, is that they receive their medicines for the bone and mineral disorder. Some of them, unfortunately, tend to promote vascular calcification. This is the state-of-the-art care for these patients. On slide 17, you see the results of the study starting with the primary endpoint. They speak for themselves. In the placebo group, the progression of arterial calcification measured by CAC volume score in the coronary arteries progressed by 20%. In the combined SNF-472 groups, that progression was reduced to 11%. So obviously this was a significant reduction by nearly half of the rate of progression. Moving on to the next slide, slide 18, you see a number of analyses of the primary endpoint CAC volume score, which is the one we just looked at on the left in the MITT population. And as I mentioned, we've also performed the analysis in per protocol population, where, as you can see, the difference is amplified. These are the patients who received all of their drug and stayed to essentially the end of the trial. Here, the differences are greater, 24% progression in placebo, 8% in the actively treated group. So this is nearly a two-thirds of the rate of progression that you see the reduction in the treated group. And then with two types of multiple imputation that are typical and recognized by regulatory authorities, you can see confirmatory results with p-values as listed confirming the robustness of the main result. Moving on to slide 19, we're now looking at the changes by dose. We did not fully power the study to have significance by each dose. However, in addition to the primary result that you have already seen here in the first two bars, you can see that the 600 milligram did trend for a greater reduction, and both of them had p-values that either were less than 0.05 or certainly close to it, even though the powering was not really performed for each individual dose, showing again that the results are robust. On slide 20, we're looking now at one of the secondary endpoints. We did look at the CAC-AGOTSON score. The CAC-AGOTSON score is usually used for risk stratification. It's the measure that's been used for a long period of time, but it's known to have higher variability, which is why in more recent trials, CAC volume, including ours, is used as the preferred biomarker for assessment of potential efficacy. And as you can see here, the point estimates are essentially identical. The variability, as expected, is a bit higher, and the p-value is affected accordingly. On slide 21, we see results in assessment of change in aortic valve calcium. Again, the MITT, mean pre-specified analysis. You can see the results. The caveat is that we did not select these patients based on the presence of aortic valve calcium. 57% had aortic valve calcium at baseline detected. So it is a secondary endpoint. We certainly are very encouraged by these results. We're taking them as very interesting, and they also are in line with what we've seen in animals in general. Moving on to slide 22. This is the change in calcium in the thoracic aorta calcification. Obviously, the thoracic aorta is a much larger vessel. There's a lot of calcium there. And again, we did not pre-select patients based on any particular criteria for the thoracic aorta calcification. Nevertheless, the general trend in the results here is directionally consistent. The p-values are obviously not significant, and we did not adjust for multiplicity. However, again, the directional consistency is interesting, and we will be exploring these data further. On slide 23, we're looking at what happened to patients when you categorize them based on a 15% threshold of progression of CAC. The reason for choosing 15% is that particular threshold was associated with significantly higher mortality in a number of analyses presented and published previously. So this particular threshold has become relatively common, previously used in order to see how many patients progress under versus above the 15% threshold. And as you can see here, there's a benefit in terms of a greater number of patients on SNF who progress less than 15% in the MITT population, and that is confirmed and potentially greater in those patients who completed the entire study per protocol. Again, an encouraging pattern in terms of potentially delivering the benefit of slowing progression in patients who take the full course of therapy, and increasing the number of patients who would not progress above the threshold of 15%. So with that, I will conclude the efficacy efficacy overview of the top line data that we have and present it. Moving on to safety now, we're looking at slide 24, where you can see the overall AE profile in the safety population. Obviously, these are sick patients, explaining why so many of them report any adverse events, as you can see in the top line during a year. Severe adverse events, you can see the distribution that is not dramatically different. Of note, it is also affected by a standard whereby any hospitalization is recorded as a serious adverse event. And we had a number of patients who were fortunate to progress to transplant, were hospitalized for it. Actually, more of them had transplant in the 600 milligram arm, so somewhat more of them were recorded to have a serious adverse event, although this was actually hospitalization for a transplant, which is a good thing for the patient. As you can see, the death occurred in 12 patients overall, no particular excess that would be worrisome here. And we did have one event that was attributed by the investigator as possibly related to the drug. This was a patient who had, unfortunately, acute hepatic failure. It was an HIV-positive patient with multiple comorbidities, multiple other drugs on board. The independent DSMB reviewed the case, did not feel that there was any clear relationship to the drug. This case resolved. The steering committee also reviewed this case, and the conclusion was that based on the mechanism, the timing, and the resolution, this was unlikely related to the investigational product. Moving on to slide 25, we did look at the cardiovascular safety composite endpoint. Obviously, study is not powered to detect the difference. As you can see here, the trend here is not adverse to SNF472. We have 10 versus 6 versus 7, 10 being on placebo. Events are distributed through each component. This is reassuring from the standpoint of not having certainly an adverse event or adverse pattern, and certainly that's something that is important at this stage of investigation. So on slide 26, we point out some of the limitations of our study. A number of them are obvious. We did not design the study to be a prevention study in the sense of asking a question about patients without calcification at baseline. We really enrolled patients with quite a bit of significant calcification on board, which is typical of the dialysis patients. We also, as I mentioned, selected these patients based on coronary artery score. So we focused on the coronaries. So our primary endpoint is the main result here. We saw some consistency in the other endpoints, but we did not select these patients based on aorta or aortic valve calcium score. And then finally, as we pointed out, the trial was not designed to test impact on cardiovascular events. So in conclusion, compared with placebo, 52 weeks of treatment with SNF472 significantly attenuated progression of coronary artery calcification in patients with end-stage kidney disease receiving hemodialysis. The progression of aortic valve calcification was reduced also, and there was directional trend in thoracic aorta. Those are secondary endpoints. The drug was well tolerated. Importantly, patients received contemporary management for their disease, dialysis, mineral metabolism disorder that's associated with end-stage kidney disease, and that includes drugs that have an effect both ways on cardiovascular calcification. State of the art. Finally, we do think that obviously further studies would be needed to determine if SNF has an effect on cardiovascular events in these patients. And then if we move on to slide 28, you can see that we're thinking ahead. This population has the highest burden of cardiovascular disease. This was confirmed over the same weekend when the results of ischemia CKD study were presented at the AHA. Again, the highest mortality, a three-year event of MI or death was approximately 40% in these patients, and that included both dialysis and non-dialysis. So exceedingly high event rate. Very few drugs have been shown to work. You can see here that in addition to cardiovascular disease, which is on the right side, we're thinking about the peripheral arterial disease, has similar pathophysiology on cardiovascular disease. You can see what we're thinking there as a company and in collaboration with the steering committee that we have other investigators in the field. We think that potential next steps here obviously would be thinking about a large, simple cardiovascular outcomes trial, and we've had some conversations with the FDA on how this could be done in an effective and efficient way. And on the left, something that we could advance more rapidly and something that we have initiated work in is peripheral arterial disease. Very prominent role of calcification in dialysis patients with peripheral arterial disease. Fairly high prevalence, no drugs approved, and here the endpoint could be improvement in their walking distance. These patients, again, have very high event rates and mortality, but this is something that we can do and certainly contemplating in the near term. So with that, hopefully you have a better idea about the results of Calypso and the implications for Sanofit, and I will hand it over back to Juan for final remarks.
Thank you, Alex, and thank you, Glenn, as well, for such a clear presentation. I'll make a few comments before going into the Q&A. As I was saying at the beginning of this call, our goal has always been to become a global biopharmaceutical company treating calcification diseases. We started years ago with the preclinical development of SNF-472, applying the chemical concept of inhibiting calcification, or more generally, crystallization, a concept that has been known and studied for more than 60 years in chemistry, but now we are applying this concept into the field of medicine. So with these positive results with the Calypso trial, we believe it validates SNF-472 certainly as an inhibitor of cardiovascular calcification progression, but we believe it also validates our approach to target hydroxyapatite as the final common pathway of vascular calcification, with a significant reduction in the progression of this calcification in patients on dialysis that Alex has explained just a while ago. We believe this strengthens and supports our upcoming phase 3 study and the overall program for calcifylaxis, the orphan disease that we are addressing. And also, as Alex just explained, it opens the door to potential new indications after Calypso, such as PAD or cardiovascular disease. I would like to say as well, since we have a number of team members here, I would like to thank all of them, members of the team in Spain and in the U.S., for bringing this molecule basically from the university to now starting phase 3 clinical trials. It's been a journey to get to here with a very lean organization, and I think there's merit behind that, and wanted to say thank you for that. And yeah, maybe one more comment before jumping into the Q&A. Sanofit will be attending Jefferies this week in London. We will be attending JP Morgan as well in January. So we encourage all of you, if you want to get in touch or you would like to meet us, you can send us an email. You have the address in slide number 29, or you can simply fill the contact form that you will find in our website. And with that said, operator, we're ready now to take questions from the audience.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. And as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. Thank you. And your first question comes from the line of Naveed Siddiqui from Nova Ventures. Your line is now open.
Hi, all. Congratulations. Excellent data. Very impressed to see this. And credit to the team. My question is really around the, this obviously your data you showed at 52 weeks. So can you say anything about, how that separation looked ahead of the 52 weeks as well?
I will take the answer. Thank you very much, Naveed. If I understand your question, you were asking about separation before 52 weeks. As you may recall from the past, this is not an event trial, so we had only two scans at the baseline and at 52 weeks. And so there isn't an interim evaluation, which is certainly would be interesting to have interim evaluations, but as you well know, the reality of carrying out a study like this is that for a sick patient population like this, undergoing two CT scans is already quite an additional burden. And we have one of the strengths of our trial is that we were actually, due to the strength of our team, led by Claire Padgett, is that we've been able to actually get a follow-up on the vast majority of patients, which is it's quite an accomplishment, even just with getting the follow-up scan at 52 weeks. So unfortunately, we can't answer this interesting question, but I think in reality, this is the best you can do in this patient population with an imaging study.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Pablo Reina from Aura. Your line is now open.
Okay. Thank you. Congratulations to all of you for the Sunifit, for the Calypso study. I am wondering whether there was any modification on calcium, phosphate, or PTH, or FGF23 with this product.
I will start again and see if that address the question. This is Alex. Thanks for your kind words. The drug, as you heard at the early stage of the conference, works by blocking the deposition of the units of hydroxyapatite into the sites of growing crystal. It does not work at the concentrations that are therapeutic by binding either calcium or phosphate. If you look at the paper, you will be able to see that there was no real effect on any of these measures. Some of the others that you were referring to, we will publish separately. We believe that the advantage of the drug is that it actually does not affect calcium phosphate metabolism in the circulation, and works literally at the sites of growing crystal, which is the advantage of this mechanism of action, literally blocking progression of crystal formation and cardiovascular calcification at the site of its potential growth.
Okay, thank you. But you did measure PTH?
We did.
Oh, no. And there was no change?
There was no difference.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you once again. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad.
Well, if we don't have any questions, we'll give it another few seconds. We certainly welcome any questions. You also know how to contact us, as John pointed out, the email. A number of you know us in person. And if there are no questions right now, you would like to prefer to ask them in private, we're certainly available. We hope you look at the publication and find that interesting. It was very well received. The presentation was very well received at the meeting. We had very positive comments, as I mentioned, especially in the context of the CKD ischemia trial confirming that this is a major unmet need. The chairman of the session where the study was presented literally said that they were very excited about this trial because this presents potential hope in development of this agent for the patients who don't have any therapeutic options, at least to address that particular aspect of their cardiovascular disease and a number of other therapies that work for other general atherosclerosis patients did not work for this patient population, even the statins. So it looks like we do not have any questions at this point. So I believe, John, we would be okay to close the call at this point.
Sure. I would just like to say to conclude, because I said thank you to a number of people, but we would like to say thank you to my colleagues presenting here today. Thanks, Alex. And thanks also, Glenn. It's been a real pleasure to work with you in the execution and evaluation of the results in this clinical trial. And thanks to everybody who has joined this webcast. As said, we'll be attending Jefferies, JP Morgan. You have our contact. If you want to meet us, please let us know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect. Speaker, please stand by.